what are you trying to do here in life? And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm just building a business. Like, I don't need a purpose. Like, let's just go. Like, let's build this thing, right? So a lot of entrepreneurs just run 100 miles an hour. But if you don't know ultimately where you're trying to go in life, not in your business, in life, any path will do. You can go 100 miles an hour down this road and create a large business, makes tons of money, but you have, you know, not the family you dreamed of creating, or not the relationships and love you were looking to create, or not the health that you were looking to create.
I'm excited for this one, folks. It's always great to have guests want to be on the show. And then when I get to look into that guest, realize what an all-star he truly is. He has his own awesome podcast that we'll learn a little bit about. It's in the entrepreneurial world. He's an entrepreneurial strategist, business growth advisor, a lot of experiences, a lot of lessons learned to provide you today. So, John, thank you very much for taking some time to stop by That Entrepreneur Show.
Yeah, excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. If you're looking on from the video version today, he's got the big 100M journey behind him. So I'm sure we'll dive into that. But each week on this show, I sit down with the founder of a company or brand to share their lessons learned, successes, failures, everything in between to help you succeed in life. It is the number one podcast for small business owners. And today, we're going to learn a new perspective. I'm super excited about it. If you want to learn more about the show, head to thatentrepreneurshow.com, at That Entrepreneur Show on all social media. And on YouTube, they're under my channel, at Vincent A. Lancey. We're going to have some cool clips today from today's show. But John, I always like to start with my guests from the beginning. Backtrack to the beginning of entrepreneurship for us. What led you to that moment?
Yeah, selling chocolate bars to raise money for my school. It was a fundraising competition. The winner of this competition got a new alarm clock. I was super pumped about that. Not really, but I was really the competition, right? It's the element of, no, I want to win this thing. And me and my friend went out in the streets around our neighborhood and started selling chocolate bars for $1 a bar around to our neighbors. And, you know, the neighbors who knew us bought two or three, and the neighbors who didn't know us maybe bought one. And as we got further and further away from our home, we sold fewer and fewer chocolate bars and started getting a little more, you know, depressing as our name was going down the list of the leaderboard. Until the one day where we had a good idea to go to the military college where my father was a professor, and they had all these dorms. And my father always liked to go in to grade his assignments at night, and was like, hey, let's just go with him. We'll sneak into the dorms and we'll go knock on the cadet doors. Just give that a shot. And within 15 minutes, we sold out of all our chocolate bars, right? These are cadets that only had strict nutrition. There's no vending machines or chocolate bars or chips or anywhere in the building. And we knock on a door and they'd buy two or three, but there'd be like two or three cadets in the same room. We take three or more steps, knock on the next door, and boom, sell, you know. And so the next day we go to school and we're like, hey, can we have like, you know, 10 boxes each? And we went back to the military college that night, sold out again, ultimately won the competition, and learned the concept of supply and demand right then and there. And after that competition, obviously our minds were racing on what else can we do? What else can we sell? What else can we get going? And we were in our, you know, mid-teens, probably 14, 15, maybe. It became really exciting to think about this world of entrepreneurship.
You got a taste of this world. So then other jobs, other things that came your way as a young guy didn't probably seem as attractive because you were out there learning the basics of business. And like you said, you found a need. They had no vending machines. They had nothing around them. And here comes these cute kids showing up at the door. Of course, we'll support you. Oh, that's a great story. I appreciate kicking us off there. Did you ever consider going to a 9-to-5 job after this experience, such a young guy, or walk us through those early years?
Yeah, it's, you know, so as I moved on, yeah, I definitely had some, you know, bartending jobs or, you know, working at the campground or, you know, things like that along the way. But we were always trying to think of what else could we do? Could we do landscaping? Could we do painting for our neighbors? Like, what else could we do in that realm? And really where I was forced into entrepreneurship again was in my collegiate years. So I came from Canada to come to the United States to go to college. And as an international student, I was studying in accounting, but the only option I had for a job in the summertime without a work visa, I was only really on a student visa, was to do an internship with an accounting firm. didn't really excite me back to that entrepreneurial roots, right? I was like, that sounds a little too boring. I like to learn the numbers, but right. I'm not sure if I want to sit at a desk and crunch them. So I went back home to Northern Canada to plant trees for a summer. And it's the worst possible summer job you could imagine, right? You take two steps, plant the tree, take two steps, plant the tree. You're wearing all netting because of the black flies. You can't even go to the bathroom. I mean, it's 6 hours north of civilization. It sucked. So the next year, my second year in the US, I was like, I'm not doing that again. I got to figure this out. Well, if you own a limited liability corporation in the United States, you're not on payroll. You actually don't have to have a work visa necessarily. You can own a company in the United States. So I saw this poster on my wall one day, and it was own your own painting franchise with College Pro Painters. I'm like, what's this? As I started looking into it, I was like, okay, this can work. I can actually own my own business in the United States, stay here, and learn how to run a business in a more complete manner. So I ultimately became a franchisee for College Pro Painters for two summers. And that really got my juices going on what really this world of entrepreneurship can be and how to learn it, master it, fail at it, and learn all the lessons in between.
It's interesting because you learned a lot of these skill sets and they're not really involved with what you're doing now. You diversified yourself. I'm someone as well who is a career learner, I would describe. I always like learning things. If school were free, I'd probably keep adding to the degree collections, but that's not going to happen anytime soon. What pushed you more towards what you're doing now in this advising strategy role?
Yeah. Well, that's a long journey, right? Between college and there, there's about 25 years of entrepreneurial learnings, but really at the root of it, Vincent, to just hit it right, the nail on the head. I grew a company for over 15 years to north of $50 million in global revenues and lost it all. Congratulations. Before the congratulations, I lost it all. Walked into a board meeting one day and 5 years ago and was terminated from the very company I co-founded and built to that size and was devastated. I had put everything into this business, the brand, the identity, the culture, the people. I loved everybody in the business and I lost it. I had made myself and the business vulnerable. I had not treated my equity. I didn't respect my equity enough. It was diluted over time and lost control of the business. We didn't build enough capital to support our own growth. So we had to go to get bank loans and leverage our balance sheet. Make a long story short, I can go through all the mistakes I made, but we lost the business. And really the key learnings behind that were synthesized through deep reflection, introspection. Okay, what happened here? What would I do differently again? I can't do this again. If I'm going to build a business, I got to do this the right way and develop seven principles that I thought were essential for success. Applied those principles, Vincent, to another business that we successfully grew from under $5 million in revenues to north of $100 million in 2022. Awesome. The right way. And so I took all these learnings I had through my 25 years of entrepreneurial lessons and made sure, okay, now I got to build a business, but I can't do what I just did the last time. I can't go off the cliff. I got to build the business of my dreams the right way.
I really love how you're emphasizing the right way, putting in the hard work and then enjoying the fruits of your labor. You mentioned you developed these seven principles for success. Are we able to dive into this a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Let me kind of go through them real quick. But before I do, Vincent, it's really important. Before you get to the principles, you need to know what you're trying to do. Not as a business, in life.
Right.
One of the biggest things I lacked was a clear direction on my life purpose and what I was trying to achieve in my life. And so I was building a business completely disconnected with what I really wanted to create in life. And so before you actually, dive into your business, you need to know what your true north life goals are. You also need to have a very clear strategic business initiative that attaches to that life plan. Once you have that, you can move to the seven principles. So I'll jump into the seven principles real quick, and then you can dive in wherever you want.
Sounds perfect.
Principle one, protect and grow your equity. Equity is the end all be all. That is exactly how you're going to create wealth and freedom through your business, is through the equity you own within your business. And way too entrepreneurs just give it away loosely. They bring on partners left and right. They bring on investors. They dilute themselves. And they realize one day that was probably a big mistake. Principle two, build your own capital. If you don't build your own net operating cash flow to self-finance your own growth, you're going to have to go hat in hand to investors or bankers, leverage your balance sheet, put yourself in a position. You got to bring on other investors, which will dilute principle one, your equity. It kind of all ties together. You got to build your own capital. Principle three is reinvest smartly. you know, in the business that I failed on, I was chasing the shiny objects left, right, center. And a lot of the shiny objects I was investing in was losing cash flow. So it was hurting our ability to build our capital, which hurt our ability to protect our equity. And it kind of all flowed downhill. You got to reinvest smartly, strategically, you know, focus on what you do best, maximize that, you know, those kinds of areas. Number four is you got to build a culture of intrapreneurship. You know, if you want to build a business that can scale, you can't be the chef, cook, and bottle washer all over the place, be controlling everything. You got to build a team that treats this business as if it's their own, that really cares like an entrepreneur, but they're called intrapreneurs. They're working within your business, but you got to give them the freedom and the authority to build and grow your business. Principle five is protect the house. You could do principles 1, 2, 3, and 4 and not take care of all the vulnerabilities that exist as an entrepreneur and lose everything. You know, it's a game of whack-a-mole. You know, 4, 5, 6 are down, 7, 7, 8, 9 come up. That's the life of an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You surround yourself with the right advisors, the right protectors to protect all the different elements that could spurt out at any given time to set you back 2 or 3 steps. Principle 6, one I love, is how do you move liquidity? How do you get access to owner's liquidity? So as a business, your balance sheet starts growing. Hopefully your business is doing well. Your balance sheet's growing. Your equity is growing your balance sheet. But how do you transfer some of that wealth from balance sheet A, your business, to balance sheet B, your personal, in a most tax efficient manner that helps the business and helps you? Because guess what? As you grow, your business needs cash. So if you take all the cash out of the business and just distribute it, your business doesn't have the cash and oxygen to grow. So how do you keep cash in the business to grow, but also feed yourself and your family and the wealth you want to create through this business asset? So how do you access owner's liquidity? And last, but certainly not least, principle 7, how do you move from CEO to chairperson of your business? How do you become more strategic? You're always told work on your business, not in your business. You're, yeah, that's easier said than done, buddy. Like I'm through the trenches. I'm stressed out. I'm not over, you know, under working out. I'm not taking care of myself. I'm not eating healthy. And you're telling me go work on my business. I got to go shovel the dirt over here, right? There's a problem here. But how do you move that strategic level of your business where you can be, you know, look over the trees, see where your business wants to go ultimately long-term and create something of lasting value?
Well, congratulations on putting all of that together. I'm sure it's helped countless people so far. I'm already excited to ask some questions. Even me in a different stage, not really at the chairman stage, but just letting go of control and bringing on people to take care of the things that take me all day to do the day to day as a podcaster, an author turned podcast coach, book coach. It's now I'm able to be strategic and just focus on selling and scaling. So I love that point there. But even in the beginning, you have to find what your life's purpose is, right? Your life's mission. You touched on that. I was a finance major, MBA. Life gets in the way, had an experience, and I was not fulfilled. I thought money alone would make me happy, and I learned that money alone, unfortunately, did not. But then the two-sided coin that we spoke about, having to finance yourself and do things for your business, I was the solopreneur, broke, having to do everything myself, and then now evolving to the end. So I'd love to ask you, back in your solopreneur days when you were first getting started in the main part of the company, what's some advice you can give everybody out there who's in those trenches, putting out those fires, and they want to get to where you're at now, stepping up to the chairman of it?
Yeah, well, I was always told, and maybe you heard the same thing from mentors of mine that are a little more senior to me, right? Like, John, what's your purpose? What are you trying to do here in life? And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm just building a business. Like, I don't need a purpose. Like, let's just go. Like, let's build this thing, right? So a lot of entrepreneurs just run 100 miles an hour. But if you don't know ultimately where you're trying to go in life, not in your business, in life, any path will do. You can go 100 miles an hour down this road and create a large business, makes tons of money, but you have, you know, not the family you dreamed of creating, or not the relationships and love you were looking to create, or not the health that you were looking to create. I mean, to your point, there's a lot of people that we know in life that are successful in business, but they're not successful in the other 4 or 5 other segments of their life, and they're unfulfilled. So how do you, you know, creating a true north life plan of where do you want to be in your life? Ultimately, 30 years from now, where do you want to be in all aspects of your life? Health, finance, relationships, family, all the different areas. And then create a business that it can help you fulfill those goals is what I was really, really, really missing. And when you're young and you're gunning out and you're creating business and you're creating success, you have a hard time seeing that because you believe that if you create a business that's successful and financially drives you, all those other things will just happen. And that's not the way it works. And so that was a big lesson that I learned. But unfortunately, if you're listening to this and you're in your younger entrepreneur years and you're hearing us talk, you're still not going to listen because I didn't listen either. So, you know, just take that moment and just think about it real quick. You know, ultimately, what are you trying to create in life in all these different segments? And then create a business that can help you achieve those goals. You'll be more fulfilled.
Really love how you put that out there in the over 4 years of weekly shows. I think you are only the second person to discuss how it's not just about winning in your business. There's so many quadrants in life, your family, your relationships, your happiness, your hobbies, all of these things. So thank you for shedding light on everyone that there is more to life than just business. I was swamped head down in the beginning of this, and now I'm remembering there's a lot to enjoy out there. John, such a lights out episode. I've been typing up awesome show notes for when we go live. I really loved the beginning with the selling chocolate bars. For me, it was the shoveling driveways and the neighborhood with a few other neighbors, the iced tea stands. I love to now ask, if you could have a conversation with any entrepreneur throughout history, dead or alive, who would be your first choice to pick their brain?
Oh, wow. at this current moment, I believe because of the advances in technology and where things are going, I would want to pick somebody that's current.
Right.
And I would have to say Elon Musk. I would have to, just what he's doing in terms of his efficiency and capabilities, you know, being the CEO of multiple companies and driving them, his futuristic view, his purpose. You know, if you think about his companies, right, the purpose is way beyond just making money and building something. Like, it's just, it's way beyond that, the mission. So I'd love to pick that brain and learn from him in a one-on-one setting versus all the, you know, publicity he gets, right? Move that aside. I'd like to learn as an entrepreneur, you know, things I can tangibly take from a conversation from him that could help propel me.
Can't argue with the choice. Let's delve a bit deeper. Where would this conversation go down if you got to pick that too?
SpaceX, no question.
I was going to say that was in my head as well. it's really remarkable just as an entrepreneur, just proving that you never know where the next door is going to open from, watching his path continue to grow. I mean, even, I don't even know if it's called Twitter anymore, but that with the SpaceX, all of these things, truly inspiring as an entrepreneur. But John, I want to thank you so much for taking some time. As we're recording this, is kicking off my first podcast of the day. I had a really great time getting to know your story. I was certainly inspired right from the beginning to overcoming the adversity of losing a business and then building several more. Remember, everyone, he applied these business tips for success to multiple businesses. So they are applicable to just about anyone, it seems like, that is willing to put in the work. If they want to get in touch with you to learn more about that, John, maybe work with you, learn more about your business, where can they find that online?
Yeah, so very simply, I'd send everybody to the website 100mjourney.com. So 100m is in million journey.com. All my social networks are there. I got a free workbook for anybody who wants to just download that. Some free supplemental videos that talk about all these principles. So yeah, 100mjourney.com.
Appreciate you putting all that content out there. And I appreciate you taking some time to start your day with me. Everyone out there, be sure to check them out online. And we are at That Entrepreneur Show on all social media. For the video clip of today's show, head to Vincent A. Lancey in the coming days, and they have the That Entrepreneur Show channel right under there. A lot of great stuff today. Be sure to give this episode a second listen because he absolutely crushed it. And with that, we are signing off today from Florida to New Hampshire. John, thanks again.
Thanks a lot, Vincent.